call the sermon Trouble, Hope, and Praise, because I think that basically outlines the direction that David takes us in Psalm 43 and verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Have you ever quit? I've quit the ministry several times. Have you ever done that? I suspect more than one of you has. I also remember as a plebe at West Point that early on I decided to quit. The first year there is an 11-month initiation. You know, some folks who have been to college and joined fraternities are glad when the 2-week or 4-week initiation is through. This was an 11-month initiation. And after about the first 2 months, well, it was earlier than that. After about the first month, I decided that I was going to call home and tell my folks, come and get me. I don't want any more of this. And I seriously went through that. And after going through that down period and thinking it through a little bit, I decided that, well, maybe I ought to grit my teeth and push on, because my folks wouldn't be terribly happy with me if I did call them to come and get me. And I really did quit. But I got down, and I can sympathize with a little bit with what the psalmist says here. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Some of you know that I have gotten another letter from this young lady, Diane Mahaffey, in Oregon. The first letter I got, we put in the bulletin, and the second letter I got was asking for some help. Here's a young lady, 14 years old, who is in a mental institution in Oregon, and she needs some help. And we need to continue to pray for her. We really do. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? I think all of us go through this sort of thing at one time or another. And I think part of the problem that we're faced with in situations like this is that we look at ourselves and we ask these questions which are asked by the psalmist David, and we become guilty when we ask the questions. Because after all, Christians aren't supposed to get down. Christians are supposed to be happy, right? Christians are supposed to live on top all the time and be victorious all the time. Isn't that the case? Well, apparently David didn't think that was the case. And as we will see, the Lord Jesus didn't think that was the case either. Well, what does the psalmist say to us here? He asks a question, a couple of questions, but he doesn't directly answer those questions. He simply jumps to a solution. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. The despair David is talking about is feeling like the bottom has dropped out. You're sunk. That's what David's talking about. You give up. And you don't even know why. That's why the question's asked. Things seem to pile up, and you can't cope. And it's real. I think that's the first thing that has to be acknowledged. It's real. And people that experience this sort of thing will tell you it's real, and it's too bad because others will point the finger and say, well, what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her? Why don't they get out of this blue funk that they're in? Well, we need to acknowledge it's real. And we ought not to be ashamed of admitting the reality of what David is talking about. This despair and being disturbed. Look at the beginning of the psalm again. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why hast thou rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Do you know what David's problem was? Well, one of the things that David experienced was a son whom he loved had turned his back on David. You remember how when Absalom died, David cried, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom." A kid whom David loved. And this young man turned his back on David and raised an army to dethrone his father. You think that hurt? You better believe it. That hurt. In another incident, a fellow by the name of Shimei, and this is an incident that stands out in my own mind, a fellow by the name of Shimei came out and David and his men were marching. And this fellow by the name of Shimei came out and he began to throw rocks at David and he began to throw dirt at David. Curse you, David. Get out of our city. Curse you. May you be cursed of God. That didn't feel very good. Hurt. That's what it did. David had a real question here. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? It's interesting that in the Greek Old Testament, the very words that David uses in describing his condition are words that the Lord Jesus uses in describing himself. I'd like you to turn with me in the New Testament to the places where these words are used. First, the word despair or grief. And if you turn with me in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 38, you find the Lord Jesus in this very situation that David speaks of. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 36 through 38. Matthew 26 verses 36 and 38. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." Now that word grieved in verse 38. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Why are you grieved, O my soul? That's what David was saying. Same word. Okay? And here the Lord Jesus is grieved, distressed, to the point of death. And of course we begin to get an idea of the depth of His distress when we look at the Gospel of Luke and we see Him praying and great drops of blood came off of His brow. He was in such intense grief at this point. This is something that Jesus experienced. And it is a testimony to the humanity of our Lord. Jesus would have said the very same thing that David says in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Now, there's a difference between each one of us and the Lord Jesus, and David and the Lord Jesus. And I'll speak to that in just a moment. But the point I want you to see at this stage is that Jesus went through exactly the same thing. Now, in verse 5 of Psalm 43, there is also this word disturbed, as it's translated in the New American Standard Version. And why are you disturbed within me? In the Greek Old Testament, the word is the word which stands behind our English word terrazzo. You know what a terrazzo floor is, don't you? Do you know what a terrazzo floor is? No? A terrazzo floor is a floor in which pieces of marble, usually, all different kinds of pieces of marble, are put into concrete and smoothed over. And sometimes it's put in designs, but very often it just looks like it's all mixed up. These pieces of stone are all mixed up in the concrete. And that's a terrazzo floor. It just looks like it's stirred. And in essence, what David is saying here is that my soul just feels all stirred in me. It's like someone took a stick and just started churning inside of me. That's just exactly how I feel. Why are you all churned up on the inside, soul? Well, the very same word is used of the Lord Jesus again. Let's look at the instances where this is the case in the New Testament. First of all, John chapter 11. And I think this is instructive for us. John chapter 11, verses 30 through 35. And let's notice the situations in which Jesus finds himself where his soul is stirred like this. John 11, verses 30 through 35. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews, then who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came to the place, came to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. That's the word right there. Stirred, troubled. And said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Let's begin to appreciate now what is taking place here. This is not a man who stood before the tomb of one whom he loved and said, oh dear, Lazarus died. And he shed a couple of tears. That's not what the words Jesus wept meant. Jesus was troubled, troubled within his spirit. And he was stirred on the inside. You know what it's like when people come to a funeral and they weep. And they weep. That's the kind of situation we have here. Okay? Let's look at another example. John 12:27. You see, we're talking about a deep, gut-wrenching stir of the inner person. John 12:27. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus, looking at the task which was before Him, was troubled. The task seemed almost insurmountable. And He was stirred within Himself and troubled. You see, the other situation was He was troubled in his spirit, in His soul. Why? Because one whom He had loved died. Now He is troubled because He looks at the task which is before Him. And it seems overwhelming. And He's troubled. I think we can identify with that, can't we? I can. Okay? Here's a third one now. John 13:21. It's interesting how these come so close together. Same word again. Why are you distressed within me, O soul? David says. Here's how Jesus says it. And when Jesus had said this, He became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me. Troubled in his spirit. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you distressed within me? Troubled in spirit. Why is Jesus troubled in spirit here? Because one of his closest associates betrays him. Early on, when I had the privilege of ministering in your midst, I remember coming on a Sabbath morning and saying to the elders, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to preach in the evening. I have to go to Caney this afternoon. The pastor of the church there has deserted his wife. And this was a fellow that I helped with his ordination exams. And I remember praying with him in my study. And I remember, shortly before he left his wife, that he visited our family in Hutchinson with his family. And he sat and asked me questions about a particular counseling situation that he was in. And 2 days later, I think it was, we learned that he left his wife. And I felt betrayed. I really did. I felt like this fella had sat with me and lied to me. And I really felt betrayed. And it was like he just ripped my heart out. I think this is exactly what the Lord Jesus is talking about here. And Jesus, when Jesus had said this, He became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. How troubled was Jesus when He knew this was going to take place? And we can compound it, can't we, when it strikes us out of the blue. And I think, again, this is what David was sensing. But now here's the difference. Here's the difference between Jesus and each one of us and Jesus and David. We never see Jesus
feeling sorry for himself. We never see Jesus sitting around in a pool of self-pity. We do that very often, but we never see Jesus do it. And that's the big difference between the two. And that's what we need to see as we begin to understand the solution to the problem. Let's look again at Psalm 43 and verse 5. Psalm 43 and verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? That's the question, or those are the questions. Now, those questions are not answered directly. And the reason they are not answered directly is very simple. We are not to continue to look at ourselves and ask ourselves about this problem, because the solution is not found within. The solution is found in the living God. And you'll notice what David says here. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. That was the perspective that Jesus always had. His hope was always in the Father. He never indulged in self-pity. Too often we begin to dwell on the problem and submerge ourselves in a pool of self-pity rather than turning to the living God. Now, it takes some effort to do this. But this is where the solution comes. Hope in God. What is hope? When we talk about hope here, we're not talking about something vague. Well, we hope it rains, don't we? What surety do we have that it will rain this evening? A good soaking rain. Well, that kind of hope very often is a vague kind of hope. The hope that David is talking about here is something more. It is a hope which finds its ground in the living God. It is a hope which comes from God. It is a hope which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what it says at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13? It says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Paul has been talking about spiritual gifts. And he says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These are the spiritual gifts which are abiding. Praise God that one of them is hope. And so, hope in God, folks. Hope in God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Can't answer that question? Fine. Hope in God. Turn to the solution. Hope in God. Now, what else does David say here? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. Notice how praise is linked with hope. Now, we're not talking about an instant solution here. I suppose I need to interject that. We're not talking about something like making instant coffee or making instant tea. We're talking about something that takes a little bit of work and takes a little bit of time. And that comes to us in the way David phrases his exhortation. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, he says. And he links praise with hope. Now, I've already said that hope is a gift, right? Hope is a spiritual gift. Hope is something that comes from the Holy Spirit of the living God. And the Bible is full of exhortations which tell us that hope or that spiritual gifts need to be exercised. How is it that we begin to exercise the spiritual gift of hope? Well, I think David tells us here. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. How do you begin to exercise the gift of hope? By turning to God in praise. And that's what we need to do. That's a practical thing for each of us to do. Oh Lord, You are my strength and my refuge, a very present help in trouble. Praise You, Lord, because You're gracious and compassionate. Hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. And then what happens? Look again at Psalm 43:5. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, you know what that word countenance means, don't you? The word countenance means face. Your face. How you look in the morning when you look in the mirror. Don't scream. Sometimes we do that. The word countenance is used in Genesis. God says to Cain after he kills Abel, "Why is your countenance fallen? Why does your face look so sad?" Well, your countenance needs some help. And how does that help come? It comes from the inside. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance. Literally, that means the salvation of my countenance. When hope is exercised and we praise God, it shows on the outside. The countenance is lifted. And that's the way it ought to be. And we ought to look like people who have hope in God because we praise Him. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now I want to turn to one other text to help you understand what David is getting at here, and that is John chapter 14. Familiar verses in John chapter 14. David gives us an exhortation. He tells us to do something. Jesus, in John chapter 14, tells us to do something too. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay, there's the same word again. Same word that has described the Lord Jesus in various situations. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I want you to see the beginning of that verse. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, take some action. How are you going to take the action that Jesus suggests here? Well, it seems to me that David gives us the answer again. Hope in God. Well, hope is a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts need to be exercised. How am I going to exercise that gift? Through praise to God. And what will happen? My countenance will be lifted. Isn't that really how it works? Have you experienced that sort of thing? I know I have. And I know others have too. It's real. It's just as real as the trouble and the despair that David talks about. And so, I guess my encouragement to you is that as you ask the question that David asks, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" And the companion question, "Why are you disturbed within me?" That you don't dwell on those questions, but you turn as David does to God. Hope in God, for I will again yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us to understand what David says here. And Lord, since you have given each one of us as your children the gift of hope, let us exercise that gift in praise to you. And Father, show us how you literally lift our countenances as a result. Help us to understand this lesson, we pray. Help me to understand it. And not only intellectually, Father, but practically. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.